have to admit that I'm under the grips of God's grace talking about it. It's a something that you can't help but be moved by and to share it. And it's very humbling to encounter God through His grace and the message of His Word, and to have the Word open up our eyes to our lives to see ourselves in the stories like this one. That's what Jesus does. And when we teach the Bible to other people or we open it up with them, we want to encourage them, to let them know that this is not just something that they recite or a bunch of morals that they're supposed to learn so that they can follow them. It's life-changing, heart-changing, invigorating, exciting, everything. It's everything that we want in life if we'll only seek God and open it, and then we will find, right? And so when we come to this passage today, it's in humbleness. And I want to let you know that we recently went through this parable in the Wednesday night Bible study. But the Lord put something else on my heart today to talk about that I didn't see before. And I feel that it's the right thing to talk about. There's other things too, and we're going to talk about some of the things that we had discussed and others and the brothers and sisters brought out. But like I told you, we are going through three disciplines, spiritual disciplines in our lives. And I felt really strongly when I read this parable that the message was a spiritual discipline of thankfulness. Thankfulness is one of the most important parts of a human being's life. And I don't say that because it's based on human wisdom. It's based on what we learn in God's Word. And it's a part of that life that we need to remain and be disciplined in practicing in our lives. And so I hope that today we will learn through God's help the discipline of being thankful, right? I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to, with God's help and by the inspiration of God's Word, I'm going to learn to do that so that it's not something I need to think about anymore, but just pours out of me. Right. So we have this wonderful story here that Jesus is telling. He relates to the people by beginning these words each time. For the kingdom of heaven is like. Okay, so he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is one of the major themes of the Bible as well. Right? There's the kingdom of heaven has a king, and his name is Jesus. Right? So that's simple. And so we come into this day looking forward to what the king is teaching about his kingdom. Right? And so he relates this story. And so I want to first talk about some of the things that are more, you know, we may be used to hearing about this, and it's very obvious that this is what Jesus is teaching. And then secondly, we'll take a look at the element of thanksgiving in this. So the first part of this teaches that there's a master of a house. He goes out in the early morning hiring laborers. He's looking for workers for his vineyard, right? And after agreeing with them for a denarius a day, they get one denarius a day, he sends them into his vineyard. So they made this deal, right? I don't know if you've ever seen migrant workers. They come up and they stand in line and they say, you come, get on the truck, and we're going to go, and we're going to go and do work. And then there's an arrangement made for how much money they're going to get. Right? And then so they do that. And then in the course of time, after going about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. So there's some more there. And he says to them, you go out into the vineyard too. Whatever is right, I will give you. So he changed it. He said, whatever is right, I will give you. So they go. Going out again, hour of the sixth hour. In the ninth hour, he did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, so it's increasing the hour in the day, right? It's getting later and later in the day. And he says to them, why do you stand here idle all day? And they said to him, because no one has hired us. And he says, you go into the vineyard too. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. Okay, so they're going to be paid for their day's work, right? And when those who are hired in the 11th hour, the last group that came the latest in the day, he said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. So they come, and the last hour people came, and each of them received a denarius. So they get the same amount that the people that came the earliest get. Right, you got it? So it's one denarius for the people who came latest in the day. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. So they must have overheard that. And they were thinking, okay, he told us a denarius, but he gave them a denarius, so obviously we're going to get more because we were here longer, right? And on receiving it, they grumble, but each of them also received a net, they only received a denarius. On receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne in the burden of the day and the scorching heat. And then the master says to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first and the first will be last. So on this, basically what's happened here is that the people who came first are feeling that they were given a bad deal. Right? And it makes sense. It looks like that, right? On the surface there, you feel like, okay, so these guys wanted more money, right? Because they were there longer. But when we look at this in terms of what Jesus is trying to teach people, he's talking about salvation. And he's also relating that to the idea of a person coming to faith earlier in their life versus coming later in their life and still being saved. Right? So it would be like, okay, so when we are going to be given our reward, we should be getting more of a reward from God because we came to faith earlier in our life. And Jesus is saying it doesn't work that way. Right? It doesn't work that way. They were looking at the amount of money they were going to get in those kind of a terms. Right? And so Jesus was saying, no, they're saved. These people are saved even though they come later in life. And so we need to rejoice in that, right? We need to rejoice in that kind of a thing. And so what these people have done basically is they have lost sight of the grace of God. They have lost sight of the grace of God because they're looking out for themselves and they're begrudging it or they're envious. And this envy is causing their hearts to turn in a way that is not consistent with the Christian life, right? And what Jesus is really looking for, right? And so they were thinking, okay, so what Jesus is saying is that if a person comes to faith late, they're still saved. They still receive the grace that you receive when you were younger. So really, when we look at this, a person could say, well, that doesn't seem fair, right? It doesn't seem fair. But what God is teaching us is that his grace is extended to all people, right? And when we think that if you're going to have some advantage, you know, over other people and you want more, that's not the attitude that God wants you to have, right? Towards other people. And so what Jesus is trying to teach them is that he, first of all, is Lord, and he can do what he likes. But there's much more than that, right? He's saying to them, I love these people, and I'm extending grace to those people. So the people who were angry at those who were saved later in life were staying in that area where they were envious and begrudging and holding on to the things of this world when they should have been looking at the grace of God extended to these other people and rejoicing for them being saved. Now, to be fair, people would say, well, then how come I can't just do what I want throughout my whole life and then come to faith later? Well, you can. But how long are you going to live? How long is your life? What is a good timing for you to be able to come to faith and to turn to God and turn your life around and say, now I'm going to do that? You might say, well, when I'm older, well, where's the guarantee that you're going to be older, right? How much time do we have? All of our days are in the hands of God. They're not in our own hands. So the thing that is going to get people into trouble thinking like that is that they don't know whether they're going to be able to make that decision later in life. And to be honest, many people talk like that. They talk a big talk. I'll do it after this point. But they, when that point comes, they say, I'm going to extend that time to even later in my life. We had a conversation about that at the retreat. We went on a OCMA overnight retreat, and that comment was made, you know, that a person oftentimes will say, when I get out of high school, I'm going to do that. Well, when I get out of college, I'm going to do that. And then they get out of college, and then they don't do that. And they say, well, when I'm working, I'm going to do that. And then they're working for 20 years, and they say, after 20 years, I'm going to do that, right? I've heard people say that, you know, I'm going to retire and then I'll do that. I'll do work for God. How do you know you're going to reach retirement? Right? So that's the answer for people who think that they have time to make a decision and put things off and say, I'll do that then. Right? So that's not really what we're hearing here. Right? And that's actually our own worldliness and our own thoughts coming into this story, right? Which is Jesus' whole point of telling the story. It brings these things out of us. Right, so he's saying, well, why would I tell the story so that you can think, oh, that's not fair. So, you know, I get to do that just like them. It's like the story about the two girls where one gets the pony and one gets the other toy. And she's thinking, oh, I'd really like to have that one. Right. But what's going to happen in that moment tells what's in our heart. And this little girl, Carla, decides at that moment, I'm going to show gratefulness for what I receive because that person gave me that gift. And I'm going to show my appreciation even though I'm disappointed I didn't get what I wanted. So do you see how the Word of God works in our lives and how powerful it is, right? It causes us to think. And to really ponder these things and to realize that we are going to be in those kind of situations if we haven't already. But what God really wants to focus on this is that grace and that sense of loving Him so much that we don't care, you know, in that regard that if a person comes to faith later, we're glad that they came to faith. This grace that God has given to us and the love that He has given to us has affected our hearts so much, and we love Him so much that these other things that happen are no longer a part of our thinking. There's no more envy of what someone else is going to get from God. We rejoice in the fact that God has shown grace to them, and we rejoice in that because God has shown us grace. Amen? Right. And so this kind of a thing, when we're looking at this verse here, this is the part that I feel that we have to really look at and God wants us to consider today in order to understand how important thankfulness is and how we are to be spiritually disciplined in our daily lives with thankful hearts. Right. Okay. So this is the way that they reacted. When those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them received a denarius. What the master had promised. On receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. That is where we need to stay today to think about this. And so I'm going by the schedule of the lectionary, and I'm not choosing these out based on what I'm thinking about. I'm going to the Word of God, and that's what God told me to talk about today. And when I looked at this verse here and I thought about what was lacking in their hearts is thankfulness. They don't thank the master for the denarius. They complain that the other people got more. And therein lies the problem of mankind. That we're not thankful to God. Why do we sin? Why do we run away from God? Because we're not thankful to God for our lives. We're not thankful for giving Him everything that we, you know, for having given us everything that He's given to us. And we think, oh, I'd rather have that. Why don't I have this? And why don't I have that? And how come this happened? And all these different things. And that is the thing that God is trying to help us today to see. That does not express, that's not the reaction that we have to His grace. Grace is behind it all. That we don't deserve it, and yet God loves us. Right? We've fallen short, and we've done these things. We've stepped on His foot. And He extends grace to us. He loves us. Oh, man. So many levels. This is so great that God, we can be thankful to God that He's teaching us this in this kind of a situation there, right? So the grace of God is at hand so that we love Him so much that we see only that. And then when we're going with around in this world and we're encountering different things and different kinds of people and different kinds of situations, and they come up, and it's this situation where something happens that we don't agree with, and so we say, that's not fair. But you know what grace says? Thank you, God, for doing something here that you know that we need. And that is important in our lives that I may not be able to understand and I don't really like at the moment, but because you love me with such a great abounding grace, I am going to trust you and I'm even going to thank you for the thing that happened because you are trustworthy and faithful in my life. And it's not going to be the kind of case where Satan gets me again to strike out against my brother or sister because they have said or done something that I disagree with. I am going to be thankful. I'm going to come into that space of the kingdom, and I'm going to gather myself on my knees before God and pray and say, Lord, forgive me for those thoughts that I'm holding against that brother and that sister. Forgive me for thinking I wish that I got more than they did. Right? So this is just amazing, right? This whole thing that God comes in and He starts to teach us how to live and how to be, you know, really being, abundant in life. All of these things that we're letting go of. Any kind of envy, any kind of thought of something aside from grace. And what do we do to do it? Not in our own strength, but through the grace of God. We think, I am going to church at Grace Church, and therefore God is telling me that I am to remember to show grace in my life. And that's the whole thing about this abundant water. I will give you the water of life. I will give you bread of life. I will give you all these things that sustain you, all these things that you need that are going to make you into this incredible being that you were intended for, to show grace to other people, and not only that, but to give glory to my name. It's not just about singing songs about being thankful. It's about extending and practicing grace in everyday situations just like the ones we've been talking about. And there's more, because every day we're going to be tested. Right? We're going to be tested. Are you going to lash out at that person? Hey, that's not fair. Okay, so if it's not fair, and what if the person made a mistake? What's going to happen then? Well, the grace of God teaches us to be patient and loving toward people and trying to understand and keeping our mouths shut. And listening to Him. And then waiting and waiting and waiting until the Holy Spirit changes our hearts and our demeanor and takes away any kind of a hint of ourselves and fills it with the Holy Spirit. And then we speak in love. And then we act in love. And that's the power of grace. That's the power of Jesus. That's what Jesus does. He takes situations where people who are broken and so used to reacting when their foot is stepped on, when they receive something from somebody they don't like. And that is what we need to do throughout our lives. And that is the difference between a child who is spoiled and feels like, oh, you know, and says, oh, I wish I had that. And oh, you're stupid. You know, all these different things that we do as children, and we do that all through our lives into youth and into college and into young adulthood and into later years too. It's this kind of a pattern that we need to practice this discipline of thankfulness. And if we don't do that, it's not just a matter of saying thank you or getting a hymn and singing it that way, although that could help. through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is an understanding. Each day is a gift of grace by God, and we have that gift, and we're going to use that gift very, very wisely and beautifully as God leads us to use it. And things are going to happen where you're going to be put in a position just like that, where you're going to feel like, this is not fair, man. And God is going to be saying, but I am right here, and I love you, and this is going to be okay. Right? So we have this great, great example here of this, these people who are us. You know, it's this person who, it's you and me, who come in life and we grumble and say, I thought I was going to get more than them because I've been here longer. And then so it's amazing and beautiful and wise how Jesus comes up with these stories to teach people what life is really about. And our Christian life, this is not just a moral story. This is about Christian life. It's freeing, isn't it? It frees us from all the things. We carry around all this hatred and all these anger and all these different bitterness, all these things that people have been, you know, talking about and saying, you know, this is what bitterness is and this and all these different grudging. This is like, why are you, Jesus says it to them in such a nice way. He says, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? Do you begrudge my generosity? And brothers and sisters, that's what we do. We begrudge God's generosity to other people. And that's what envy does to us. It's begrudging the generosity of God. If God wants to give someone something and this person has something, we don't envy and think, I want that, you know. We think, wow, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that that person possesses such a great spirit about them. Thank you, God, that they have such a great voice. Thank you, God, that they have this kind of a gift and they're using it in this kind of a way. You know, obviously, God is not saying to us we can't improve and we can't learn from other people and we can try to be inspired by the example of other people, but we do not envy them and begrudge God's generosity to them. And what it comes down to is this, you know, I was searching for a word. And I was thinking, John, have you chosen the right word for the sermon today? You know, is this really thankfulness? And I started looking through other words and it was like contentment. I was thinking, okay, we can talk about contentment, to be content with what you have. But God said, no, it's not. That's a great theme for another day. You know, but it's not about contentment. It's about thankfulness. That this word that is so important is being stressed over and over, you know, in the Bible. Praise the Lord. Be thanks. Give thanks, you know. Every day we're coming up on Thanksgiving, but God has given us this word today and he's saying this is a spiritual discipline. This is going to take some doing because you're so used to doing things in an unthankful way. You're reacting to things. You're letting things come upon you and you're just letting them take over your spirit. And I want you to be filled with the Spirit. I want you to be filled with grace and filled with love and change so that it beams in your face. And people are like, what happened to you today? And you say, I read the Bible and I was reminded of God's grace and how he loves me. And now I can't help but laugh and smile and be a different person. And that's really what happened. I'm tired of being envious and begrudging God's generosity to other people. I'm going to look at myself as being very special and count my blessings each day. And I'm going to look at other people with that kind of an idea. I want them to do well. I want them to have success. I want them to be loved. I want to love them. I want to show grace to them. I want to tell them I love them. I want to embrace, I want to tell them, and even if they don't know what to do with that, I'm going to say it anyway, because that's the whole point. If I have one complaint about our church, we don't say I love you enough that openly to each other in the Spirit. And that's, I thank God that he's teaching us today that, you know, as much as you might be thinking of yourself as someone who could not do that, I believe that that's one of the disciplines that Jesus is calling us to today. Enough with this kind of a lie of children growing to a certain age and then they don't have to tell their parents they love them anymore. Did you ever read that somewhere? Did you ever read that in the Bible? At this point, when you're 16 years old, you're going to stop talking to your parents in a polite way, and you're going to stop hugging them and stop, you know, kissing them, and you're going to stop telling them that you love them. Yeah. Right. So if anybody is coming into this recording at this point, let me go back and say that that was not to say that you're allowed to do that. That was sarcasm. And it's the opposite of that. We are to, like, you know, I'm talking about teenagers, but I was a teenager and that's kind of what happened in my life. And so I'm not blaming anybody here. I'm just telling you that that's a reality. And I think that we have to reject that and we have to love our parents. And it doesn't matter what they do to you. That might be hard, but you have to do it. Because it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that at some point you can stop. And for later on in life, when you're in relationships as well, no matter what age you are, we are to practice the discipline of thankfulness. And thankfulness is a result of the grace of God being poured into our hearts through the cross. And Jesus Christ dying on the cross because he loved us. He didn't stop loving us. It was in that moment, the verse today that you read, right? At that moment where we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Keep that one firmly in your mind and in your disciplines each day. It was at that lowest point when we were yet still sinners that Christ died for us. That's what it's all about. That's what God wants us to do. And there isn't anything that you're thinking about that is an impossibility for God, because all things are possible with him. And your situation is there, and it's in the lectionary this week, if you're reading it. Nothing is impossible for God. He's the greatest, the only God. He's the greatest thing that exists in life. So I've been going back to this time and time again, and God really put this on my heart for today as well, but it really speaks what this message is about. Let me see if I can find it. I thought that I had it. Oh, man. I hate that when this happens. I had it marked. Give me a second, okay? It's worth it. 1:15. Okay, I'm going to the lifeline, and I'm going to look it up here. Okay, here, thank you. Four. 2 Corinthians 4:15. I do have the right passage, I just can't find it for some reason. Somebody pray.
We love you, Pastor John.
That's not a prayer. Say prayer. Okay, I got it. Hallelujah. Okay, so since we have, this is in chapter 4, verse 13 of 2 Corinthians, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised Jesus from the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is for all for your sake, so that, listen to this, as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. And so this is the verse that you want to really hold on to, because it's talking about the whole reason for this message today that is found in this parable that Jesus is talking about. The Lord Jesus, right, was raised by God. And he will raise us also with Jesus and bring us into his presence, right? It's for your sake. Everything that Paul is doing is for their sake. So that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving. That is the whole way to thanksgiving. It's through the grace of Jesus. So you can sum up all the things that you want to do, and you're going to say, I'm going to try to be more thankful, and I'm going to do all these different things. And you can try to do that. But the real way to do it is by being touched by Jesus and saying, Lord, forgive me for my sins. I'm a sinner. I confess. I repent. Let me follow you forever. I give you my life. And now, Lord, Help me to really learn from you the grace that you're extending to me and appreciate every day and translate that into my daily life so that more and more people will see that and know about the grace of God in my life, and it will increase thanksgiving, and all people are thankful to God because they've been touched by the grace of Jesus. And that's why we're going into CEF. That's why we're going into the school over here starting in October. We're going in with grace of Jesus Christ for those little children so that they'll be saved. And that their parents will be saved, and that the principal there will be saved, and that the superintendent and the board members, and that anybody who's around there, and all of you live in different towns, and so you're going to be going into your town and whatever place that you're going into, and you're going to be bringing that kind of a change in your life, that you have been so touched by the grace of God that you've been given that one denarius and you say, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I don't deserve anything, but you gave me a denarius. Hallelujah. Thank you for what you've given to me. Thank you for my mother. Thank you for my father. Thank you for my sister. Thank you for my brothers. Thank you for my uncle, for my aunts. Thank you for the people that I meet. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for the person who's mean to me at school. Thank you for everyone. Thank you for every situation. Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. Praise the Lord. We have to learn that. One denarius, Lord. You can give me half. Give me a half a denarius and I'll be pleased, because you have given your whole life on the cross for my life. And now I'm free from my sin and I can praise you, and I can go out on the street and I can walk with this feeling of being loved, and I can share that with other people. When they cut me off in the car or they do anything like that kind of thing, I'm going to be changed because Jesus loves me and he gave me a denarius. He gave me that chance. He gave me that much love, and it's so great. You know why? Because it's Jesus who gave it to me. It's Jesus who gave it to me. The Lord Jesus. He gave me the denarius, and all he does is he sends me out to do this work for him. And I'll do more. I'll spend 10, 12, 30, whatever, how many hours I will serve him without keeping count, because he gave me a denarius. He gave me his life. He shows mercy to me. He gives me grace. He gives me all these different things. I belong to him. I need him. I worship him. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's everything to me. That's what we have as a message today. And that's the discipline. You see how beautiful disciplines become? These disciplines are to help us so that we can be abundant and joyful and filled with all these things. And so that more and more through the grace of God, more and more people will increase in thanksgiving. There's one last part: to the glory of God. So we are given grace that results in thanksgiving, thankfulness, gratefulness, all these things. But it's not enough. It has to be to the glory of God. We don't just stay in the thankfulness and say, I'm thankful. We give the glory to God and we point to him and say, that's why I am the way I am. And that's why I had an ungrateful heart, and that's why I was bitter. But now, glory to God, I've been saved. And he can do the same for you. Paul goes on to say, so don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Don't lose heart. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. That's what I want. Is that what you want? I want the things that are unseen. I want the things that are eternal. And God is giving to us free through his son, Jesus. So rejoice, brothers and sisters. Rejoice that God has given us such a beautiful message today, that he's given us that denarius, and let us give thanks to him for it. And if someone else gets more, let us give thanks that they did, and praise the Lord in all circumstances.